Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when, with a newness and a depth, we may welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. It really is good to be home again. I was in a place that was warmer than here, although I'll have to admit quite a bit wetter as well. And I was in a place where I was at least able to play a few rounds of golf, and there was a hot tub nearby. But I was really anxious to get home. And on that 12-hour drive north, as the temperature dropped, my heart warmed. Easter time is a time of homecoming. I expect a number of our snowbirds to be back as of April 1st, although they may regret it. I know many university students will be coming home not yet for the summer, but at least for a time to gather with their family before exams begin, celebrating the end of classes. And I know that a number of families will be getting together for an Easter dinner, whether they are observant Christians or whether it's just a residual tradition from times gone by. Easter is a time for family gathering to celebrate children and Easter egg hunts. I do know that Halloween now has replaced Easter, or bumped Easter from its place as an economic generator in terms of the importance of holidays, and that is the way some at least judge the value or significance of a holiday, the amount of chocolate that is purchased in the course of it. Halloween now is ahead of Easter. But I think Easter is still ahead of Halloween when it comes to coming home. How do you define home? What is home to you? You know, that's an interesting question. It's a hard thing to pin down sometimes. What does home mean? Probably the most often used definition is that home is where the heart is. What if your heart is broken? What if your heart is crushed or empty? What if, and I love that saying, that to be a parent is to have your heart taken out of your chest and to walk around. And what if your heart walking around is hard to pin down sometime? There's a fellow who writes a travel blog on the internet, How to Establish Yourself in Foreign Countries. He says this is a question he gets a lot. How do you make a home in foreign lands? And so he asked the question in a fairly thoughtful and lengthy essay on this blog, what is a home? And he took that definition, home is where the heart is, and without being entirely dismissive of it, he said, you know, that's for romantics. And then he went on a long excursus of what he has discovered in his many years of traveling and living abroad. And he brought home down to four basic rules. The first one is, home is where your survival needs are met, primarily water and then food and shelter. He isn't a romantic. Second was, home is not attainable unless you know who you are and what you want. The third is, home, if you have a family, is not just yours, it's theirs. And the fourth thing is, home is where you have what you want, but be prepared, after a while, you'll want more. So it comes up and boils down his definition in this phrase, home is where you make it. Or, in a less pithy version, but in his more truthful version as he describes it, home is the place where you are best able to adapt to. He doesn't mind ending a sentence with a preposition. Home is the place or location where you are best able to adapt to. But that makes you wonder, too. If home is where you make it, what happens when the home you've made is destroyed? Maybe you get a sudden flood and all your possessions that you've collected over the years are suddenly floating out the door. What if you've spent your lifetime and your dreams building up your family and then suddenly your teenager who you sent on a foreign exchange trip dies senselessly in a plane crash? What happens when your home is invaded or you are driven out of it by a madness which forces you into becoming a refugee? What happens when all you've worked for disappears because you succumb to an addiction to alcohol or drugs or gambling or pornography? What happens when the home you made falls through your fingers? What is home to you? The meal Jesus shared with his disciples was a real homecoming meal. The Passover celebration to Jews is a time when they gather to remember who they are as a people beloved by God and freed by God. And freed people then and now in Passover Seders do not just sit at the table, they recline as a sign of their freedom. It is a time of joy, a time when you gather with family and friends who are like family. And Jesus' homecoming meal was carefully planned. You have that kind of secret rendezvous, the man carrying a jar of water. In those days, women carried jars of water. A man carrying water would have carried it in a leather pouch at his side, so this fellow would have been noticeable, a secret signal taking them to a secret place where they would be safe and secure, that they could enjoy this meal together, claiming their freedom and identity with their teacher. But even in that very place of celebration of freedom and identity and God's beloved care, you have the betrayer and the denier. I think it's important for us all to recognize that Jesus still welcomed them to his table. And we would bar anyone from this table, we should look at that first Last Supper, that meal in the upper room where his betrayer was still welcome to the table. And where Peter and all the disciples who would flee from him were still welcomed to his table. And Jesus interpreted what was about to happen in his life and death through that meal of liberation, that meal of freedom, the meal of God's beloved care. In the very place where what might be defined as homecoming was falling apart at the seams, Jesus was declaring a new home was coming. He had declared it when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that day. He had an awareness of what was coming. He knew what he was preaching. He knew how that message had been received by the religious authorities and the political authorities and all those who would be threatened by this kind of a love. He knew what was coming, and still he rode in. The people who wanted to make him something that he was not, he still rode in knowing who he was and what he was to do. These were those to whom he had come. These were those that in the beginning he had created out of love. They did not know him, but he knew them. And he came to claim them as his own and welcome us home. It's a beautiful thing when you see this unfolding in the world, and it is unfolding all the time. This truth of God in Jesus Christ continues to find those who are homeless in every conceivable way and welcome them home. People like Cody Huff. Cody is a resident of Las Vegas, and one of the folks in our Week of Guided Prayer a few weeks ago was in Las Vegas during the Week of Guided Prayer and did it over Skype. I think that was a new thing for us. And it was interesting for him to do a Week of Guided Prayer in Las Vegas because he would walk out on the street and there would be these Latinos giving out brochures to make a dollar that would invite people into brothels and gambling. And there were so many homeless there. Well, Cody Huff was one of them. Cody had done quite well in his life. He had created a business around pro bass fishing. He was actually featured on ESPN as one of pro bass's professional fishermen. But he lost it all through an addiction to crack cocaine. He lost his wife, he lost his business, he lost his children, he lost his house, all consumed a crack pipe. And he was living, sleeping in a field across from a church. And that church had a homeless ministry. And they would go out every day, different volunteers with sandwiches to give them to the homeless. And they got to know Cody. They got to know a number of the people in that park. And one day, one of them told Cody, "You know, Cody, you can go into the church and get a shower." Cody, that was the last place he wanted to go, was to church. But even those he dwelt with in that field were beginning to let him know he needed to have a shower. And so he went in one day. One of the women who was one of the volunteers recognized him, and she said, "Cody, welcome. Great to have you here." She said, "Cody, you look like you could use a hug." He said, her name was Michelle. He said, "Ma'am, you don't want to come near to me. I haven't had a shower in 3 months." And she looked him in the eyes, and she walked through his resistance and embraced him in the warmest hug he had ever had. And she said to him, "Jesus loves you." He said, at that split second, he was a somebody. She remembered his name, and she hugged him. At that split second, he knew there was a living God, and his life changed. That'd be nice if that happened every time you did that. We get a lot of people coming in our doors who get vouchers and hugs and handshakes and a warm welcome. But for Cody, that was the moment that he realized he could be something different, that he could leave his homelessness and come home. You know, I like Robert Frost's definition that he gave in his poem, The Death of a Hired Man. It comes closer, I think, to what Jesus was saying and doing. In that poem, he said, home is where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. And the woman in the poem expanded on that in one more way. She says, I think they should call it something that somehow you don't have to deserve. You see, home in Jesus Christ isn't a place, it's a person. It's like that story of the neighbor, when the man said, what do I have to do to enter into the eternal life? And Jesus says, love your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He answers, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and of course asks at the end of it, now who was neighbor to that man? He turns the question around. And Jesus turns home around. Because home isn't some place we go to. Home in Jesus Christ is a person who comes to us and embraces every one of us and says, Jesus loves you. Welcome home. Now, Cody Huff began to clean himself up. After his shower, he began to go to that church, and he began to read the Bible, and he began to clean himself out of his addiction. Eventually, he found a job as a security guard. He began to build up his life again and build up a business again. He volunteered to work with the homeless in that park, his friends, who said, Cody, once you leave here, we'll never see you again. He said, I hope that doesn't happen, and it didn't happen. He kept going back to them and bringing them sandwiches. Eventually, working in that homeless ministry, he met a woman who also volunteered there. Her name was Heather. Heather had actually met Cody a number of years before that. She didn't remember it, but he did. He was trying to earn money to feed his drug habit in a parking lot, offering to clean people's windshields off for a dollar. She said no, but she gave him a McDonald's coupon, which she kept in her purse. And he remembered that. She didn't. But after a while of working together, and she would pick him up and bring him to church, one day they looked at each other and realized they were falling in love. Together they married. Heather was actually from Canada originally. And he built up his business. Soon he was working hard, long hours, and he realized he was being drawn away again, and they prayed and said, what do you want us to do, Lord? And they started a ministry for the homeless called Broken Chains. Last Christmas, they fed 1,800 people a Christmas dinner. They feed people every day. They've created in Las Vegas a huge organization that not only feeds the homeless, it also advocates for them and calls all of Las Vegas, Sin City, to recognize this is a problem in their midst. He sued the former mayor. He's on the current mayor's council to work with the homeless. Now, we do that here. We do it in Honduras. We do it in our work for Out of the Cold. We do it in those who come in through our door for food vouchers and coupons. And we do it all over the world as Christians, saying, Jesus loves you. I hope this Palm Sunday, this Easter, it will happen for you, that you will be welcomed home, that you will say yes to the one who comes with home for you and your family and for your world, for your broken hearts, for your fears, for those plans which have fallen to pieces. There is still a home. There is still a hope. There is our Savior. Let us pray. O gracious God, you have opened your doors to us. You have come through all our resistance, through all our stink, through all our fears, to give us home. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.